Hello and welcome back to the Go Home Show podcast. I'm Michael Henson and today I'm joined by the wonderful Chris Anderson. Not going to say he's the better half of Synergy because I know Ryan tweeted us that he's not too happy we referred to him as that. And he is joining us for our NXT UK review from the 1st of October. It was a busy night of action as the Heritage Cup kicked off. So let's get into it. So first up, we had the mysterious triple threat match to determine the 8th member of the Heritage Cup. So obviously none of these participants were announced before. So complete surprise to everyone. And it started with Kenny Williams against Ashton Smith and then Kenny Williams' tag team partner, Amir Jordan. So straight away, there's a bit of intrigue. Will the team be against Ashton Smith? Will they go against each other? And it played out perfectly in the story during the match. So it started with them two trying to team up against Ashton Smith before Smith took over. And obviously, Kelly Williams is a high flyer. He took out Smith. Then there was a wrecking ball drop kick and up and over. He was then caught by Ashton Smith because, Chris, I know you're going to talk about this, but Ashton Smith is massive. And then Amir Jordan came in with a suicide dive to take them both down. Again, there was more teamwork in the ring to take down Smith. Then Kenny Williams interrupted Amir Jordan's pin with a stomp. Then Jordan broke up another pin before being chucked out by Williams. Williams then takes out Jordan by accident. And then we get a Ashton Smith blue thunderbomb, an excellent blue thunderbomb, something Sami Zayn would have been proud of, into a two count. More back and forth. Very good. Two near falls after some great strength from Ashton Smith. And Amir Jordan does a swanton bomb off the top rope. Break a cover up. He nailed to cut the referee as well. But then Ashton Smith hits a devastating super kick on Amir Jordan. Kenny Williams then gets up, spinning DDT into a 1-2-3. And Kenny Williams is the 8th person in the Heritage Cup and will take on Trent Seven in the opening round. Chris, what did you make of that?
I was really impressed with this. I thought it was a really good start. Like I said, it was quite intriguing that they put in Kenny Williams and Amir Jordan into the match against Ashton Smith, who was on his own. So there's no Oliver Carter at ringside. I think they played the story really, really well between the tag partners in that they still worked each other and they had a good little brawl in the middle of the match. But actually, at no point did they even tease that the tag team was breaking up. It was just, this is competition. Like, it's all love, but we're both going for the win here. As you said, Ashton Smith ate the former Ashton Smith. Since he signed with WWE, that man has got huge. He was always a big boy, but he was at... where did we see him? We saw him at a Future Shock show. I was going to say probably about 6 months ago, but that was the start of the pandemic, and I'm sure it was before that. So let's say at the beginning of the year. And he is just massive now. He's huge. He's a big, strong boy. I think they referred to him as one of the most, I think, pure athletes in NXT UK, and I would honestly say that's completely accurate. He is a really, really good athlete. He's a great worker. Undervalued, underutilized, underrated. I don't know how you would describe him, but he is very, very good. And I'm actually very excited to see where him and Oliver Carter go in the tag division.
And then we move in to a couple of the promos. First, there was Eddie Dennis. He gave a line from Stephen Hawking, I believe. And then he was talking about Pretty Deadly, because obviously he came out after Pretty Deadly's win on last week's show. And then we go backstage and it's a rewind to Mark Andrews' attack before the pandemic. Still no one knows who did that. And there's an interview with Flash and Mark backstage talking about how Flash is excited for the Heritage Cup. We also had another little promo, promoting the next match, which was Xia Brookside, obviously the daughter of the legendary Robbie Brookside, against Ginny, the Queen of NXT, the self-proclaimed Queen of NXT, I should say, before Kaylee Ray or Piper hears this and kills me. So yeah, I thought this match was very good as well. Ginny obviously was shown after the Kaylee Ray Piper Niven match last week. So it's bringing her back into the title picture. There was some counters early on from Xia into an arm drag. Some very nice stuff from her. She seems to be a good worker. Ginny became more dominant as the match came on. Power moves. There was like grinding the face into the ropes. Then we have an Indian deathlock from Xia. She was getting a bit frustrated with the referee, so she questioned him. And then that moment of distraction, Ginny sends a flying with a strong forearm. Some serious power in that. And then the finish, again, showing off Ginny's power. There was a sort of snapping Xia's neck on the ropes. And she gets back into a step over toe hold, knee into the back. Xia taps, and a really nice submission from Ginny. Obviously, her finisher before that was the corner sort of face plant. So, again, showing off for Arsenal and some good offence, as mentioned, some nice power moves. She cut a promo after the match, saying she's been nice for too long. This is a new side of Ginny. And bow down and witness the queen of NXT UK make history. Chris, what are your thoughts on Ginny and Kaylee Ray going forward tight against each other?
Yeah, it's an interesting one because they alluded to it before, during the match, sorry, that Zaya Brooks, I think, is her third loss now to Ginny. So they're obviously using her to build Ginny up. I think a lot of people were expecting Piper to beat Kaylee Ray last week and then that feud would kind of continue, but it appears that they're kind of pivoting away from that. Whether or not they're going to push Ginny into the women's main event yet, I don't know. But this was a good showcase for both wrestlers. I think Zaya Brookside, obviously, she's still very, very young. She is, I think they called her during the show that, like, the prodigy. That word. Thank you. Of NXT UK. So I think there's no rush to really push her. They can take their time. They can build her slowly. Build her into this proper, scrappy, big baby face. And then build her up from there, the big underdog. Ginny, obviously, there's a bit more of a push on at the moment. I'm excited to see where it goes. I think a lot of questions will be answered with Kaylee Ray's State of the Union address next week. I think that will give us a more clear idea of what direction we're going in.
So as well as Kaylee Ray's State of Union address, there's also going to be another opening match from the Heritage Cup, and it's going to be Flash Morgan Webster against A-Kid. A-Kid, really looking forward to seeing what he can do, because he did a promo again last night saying how he wants to prove to everyone he can do it, just being a kid from Spain. And obviously Flash, a former guest of the podcast, I think he was on episode 5 now. So yeah, go and check that.
They're all blurred into one, aren't they?
It is. We're on episode 8 now. Episode 9 next week. Everything comes into one. Now we're on to the main event, which was an opening round match of the Heritage Cup. Chris, over to you if you want to explain quickly the rules and then get into the review.
So the Heritage Cup, British rules, it's a very weird format, but it's quite a clever format. So there's 6 rounds of 3 minutes. In between each round, you get a 20-second break. Rounds can end with a pinfall or submission. The first wrestler to reach 2 falls or knock out their opponent is the winner. Now, this match, I think, was pretty much set up to be a tutorial for the rules going forwards. Because if you aren't into your old world of sport, British wrestling, that kind of thing, this would be very, very foreign to you. It's a weird kind of concept to have. So I think they set this match out as, here's a basic introduction to the rules and here's how the match structure works. So you kind of see it in round one. We start off with Wolf and Noam Dar. It's all very mat wrestling, very cagey. Lots of holds, but not holds that you think are going to be wins. They give each other the chance to shine that they can both mat wrestle, but neither one's really kind of pushing for the win and risking that mistake that would cost them a fall early on. It ended quite nicely with Noam Dar kind of nonchalantly slap marrying and then giving a little back heel kick to Wolf to end the first round. You then get a 20-second break. Now, something that I kind of thought going into this was that, hey, this is great, this, if you're wrestling, because you get a break between each round.
You'd love a break between your rounds.
No, honestly, I was watching this. 20 seconds goes fast. Because normally, in a normal wrestling match, you'd have rest holds where you'd hold, like, a headlock for a minute. And if you hold a headlock for a minute in a 3-minute round, you've literally spent a third of the time in a headlock. You're going to lose the crowd. Or we don't have a crowd here, but you're going to lose the audience. So you can't do that. So actually, whilst you've got these 20-second breaks, it's 3 minutes of go. I'm sticking to tag wrestling. It's way easier. Forget this. But it is very, very interesting to watch when you have two very technically sound wrestlers like you have in Alexander Wolf and Noam Dar. Second round, you start to see them kind of take their roles within the match. Noam Dar starts going more. They are kind of, they're borderline rule breaks. So they're not full rule breaks, but he is kind of stamping on feet and stuff like that. And Noam Dar does sit very much, like we were saying yesterday, with like Finn Balor in that in-between role where he can be faced when he's against Alexander Wolf. But if you put him against Pete Dunne, you know he's going to be the heel kind of thing. He kind of fits in there very nicely. You get towards the end of the round. Noam Dar hits a big headbutt to the gut on Alexander Wolf, goes into a spinning backslide roll for 2, kick out, and then quickly rolls Wolf up for the first fall, 10 seconds from the end of the round. So now that Noam Dar is up 1-0, he scores another fall or submission during this match. He will win the match. Essentially, it's best 2 out of 3. Then into round 3. Now, this is interesting because it does sell more of the psychology in this. So Alexander Wolf now knows that if he is pinned or submitted again, he loses the match. So you start to see him be a lot more aggressive, a lot more desperate. He's going after Noam Dar here rather than letting Noam Dar come to him and then using that to put him into holds. He's a lot more aggressive. He then starts using more of his like cheaty ways to get out, but these are a lot more kind of big and brash. He starts pulling the hair, all this kind of things. And that essentially crescendos into a good old-fashioned brawl at the end of the round where they're just swinging haymakers at each other. And then after the bell, we see Alexander Wolf sneaking a cheap shot, drops Noam Dar completely. And this is the first time, because we have Pete Dunne as our special guest referee for the match. This is the first time we really see him get involved in any way more than just what a referee would do. He gives Alexander Wolf a good telling off. But again, the round's finished. 20-second break. Noam Dar still on the floor. As soon as he gets up, bell rings. Alexander Wolf is back on him. Now we start to move into what we'd kind of see more as a typical wrestling match. So we've kind of finished with the mat wrestling. Both characters have kind of set themselves out as we know who the goodie in this one is and we know who the baddie is. Alexander Wolf is the aggressor throughout this. He's going after him. About a minute and a half, 2 minutes into the round, Wolf hits a big pump kick into a bridging German suplex. That levels things up at one fall all, so it's next four wins. This was interesting because it did happen quite early into the round in the grand scheme of things. I think it was 2 minutes in. So actually, it's very quick, and they kind of tell the story that Noam Dar is really on the back foot now, doesn't have a chance to react, doesn't have a chance to rest. All the momentum is with Alexander Wolf, which leads into a really, really good finish in the fifth round. So they're working. Noam Dar starts the stage a bit of a comeback. He hits some near falls of his own. Alexander Wolf hits a big lariat and then takes him down with what was a really, really... It blew my mind when he did this takedown because he hits him with a big lariat. Noam Dar bumps. Wolf hit the ropes and then kind of crossbodies himself but onto the legs of Noam Dar, rolls him over into a deep near bar. This worked me. I legit thought this was the finish. Noam Dar works the fingers to break the hold. Noam Dar then tries to roll up Alexander Wolf for the win. We're there like, yep, that's it. Hands on the rope because he is that weird tweener where he's neither face nor heels. Pete Dunne sees this, kicks the arm of Noam Dar. Again, this worked me because I was like, oh my God, Pete Dunne's going to cost him the win. We're going to go into a Pete Dunne-Noam Dar feud. I'm really up for this. Let's go. As he's checking on Alexander Wolf, Noam Dar comes flying in from behind, hits the big kick on... It looks like he's aiming for Pete Dunne, who avoids it, but maybe he was aiming for Alexander Wolf. Hits the big kick on Alexander Wolf. 1, 2, 3, we go home. Noam Dar kind of quickly rolls out of the ring, gets out of dodge. He's done. After the bell...
Sorry to interrupt, Chris. Pete Dunne refuses to lift his arm in victory, which was quite interesting.
Well remembered. Very well remembered. Yes, he did. I mean, again, Pete... In fact, no, this is a whole over thing. NXT UK especially work it very interestingly in that they try to avoid having very obvious faces and heels. Like, everyone kind of sits in the middle a bit. There are those who are more face and there are those more heels. The best example of this actually in this show was Zaya Brookside, who we know is the babyface in this match. But like you said earlier, she gets frustrated at one point and starts almost like complaining to the ref, which is something if you are a proper underdog babyface, you'd never complain to the ref because you are, you know, I say within the rules, the ref's always right, all this kind of stuff. So it's very interesting that Pete Dunne, who we know is the big babyface of the company, is still doing these kind of little, not shady, but kind of almost, they're not pure good guy things in not lifting up the arm and stuff like that. But yes, you're right, he doesn't lift up the arm. Noam Dar gets out of dodge. Alexander Wolf then starts blaming Pete Dunne for his loss. Pete Dunne ain't having none of that noise. Starts beating down on Alexander Wolf. Again, almost in a heel-like fashion. Like, at one point, Alexander Wolf is down. He grabs both arms. He's stomping a mud hole on him. Goes to set up for the bitter end. Out comes your man, Volta. Screaming that if Pete Dunne wants some, come get some kind of thing. They both get in the ring. Numbers tell on Pete Dunne. Imperium are beating down on him. And out comes friend of the show. Check out the full interview on any good podcasting platform or on our YouTube Sport for Wrestling. Ilya Dragunov comes out to make the save. They fight off Imperium. The one question I had at the end of this was, Ilya Dragunov is the number one contender for the title, right? However, when they fight off Imperium, they play Pete Dunne's music at the end. Now, for me, I'd want to put over the number one contender. However, they were playing Pete Dunne's music. That didn't make sense to me, but we'll see what happens next week. I imagine this will lead into a tag match between Pete Dunne and Ilya Dragunov versus Volta and Alexander Wolf next week. We'll see where that goes. I really enjoyed this. I think this was a very good tutorial, essentially, for British Rules Wrestling. Cross, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, again, I really enjoyed this match. As Chris said, it was a good introduction into the British round rules. Obviously, there's probably a lot of the younger viewers won't have a clue what that was from back in the day. So, really nice introduction. Surprised it didn't go all six, because I remember watching it last night and I was talking to you at the same time. And I was like, the main event's on now. And it was like 25-9, so sort of 25 minutes left. But then obviously it's clear to see why they put it on early, because of shenanigans after the match. Again, with the Dunne's music playing, I kind of agree, but at the same time, it's Pete Dunne, and he's the man, and he's the face of UK wrestling.
But
so
this is the point, though. You need to put over, otherwise, no one's believe. Like I, no one's believing that Ilya Dragunov is winning next week. Next week, a takeover at UK. They're not pushing him.
If you listen to the podcast, you'll see why he's going to win at NXT Takeover UK.
Otherwise, they'd be pushing him.
Anyway, we'll see. We don't even know when that will be at the moment, because obviously the Dublin show is moved until June 2021. So at some point,
they're going to fight.
Yeah, I think the chat from Triple H's NXT conference call the other day was that it's been moved to June next year, and if no fans are allowed in anytime soon, then they'll look to do a takeover from BT Sports Studios.
Nice. So I like that.
That should be pretty good. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where this sort of angle goes. Because obviously, Trent Seven's in the Heritage Cup. Tyler Bate has not been heard or seen recently, so don't know where he is or what they've got planned for him. So
Pete meditating in a field, being dead zen. Following Instagram. He's dead zen, isn't he?
So then it'll obviously have the tag match next week, which will be very, very good. Just see Volta and Pete again. Two very, very good competitors. But from then on, it'd be very interesting to see whether, when we do get to that title match, whether Pete sort of interferes or Ilya turns and joins Imperium. This is Chris Anderson's wet dream of fantasy booking here with some wild shouts.
Yeah, I'm all up for this. Finn Balor is going to be leader of Imperium by the end of this.
But no, that was NXT UK for the 1st of October. We hope you've enjoyed listening. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you leave us a review on the podcast if you've enjoyed. Follow us on Twitter at Go Home Show Pod and check us out on YouTube, Sports Wrestling, for all our interviews. We've got lots of episodes coming up. Me and Chris are working hard. As are Will and Elliot. Will and Elliot helped prepare the main show, and they are more than welcome to join the review shows. But at the moment, it's just me and Chris. So you've got our lovely voices coming into your ears, as Charlie FM once said, for the SmackDown review.
Go home, get out, and review.
Don't forget to check out the main podcast featuring the NXT UK number one contender, Ilya Dragunov. Thanks for listening. Let's go home.